Thank you. Okay, here we go. God is moving on the planet. Tremendous ways. You probably heard about Friday night already. I'm not talking about any game, but Friday night, the Spirit of God fell on the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. Friday night. 6,000 people in the auditorium. And the Spirit of God came. They had worship. And then some testimonies. And then, boom, people started coming to Jesus. Baptized them in front of the auditorium. Okay, so we're seeing all that happen. God is working. It's been going on for almost 2 years now on the university campuses. This one was just Friday. A couple of weeks ago, it was Gainesville, Florida, the Gators. University of Florida, the Gators. About 6,000 in the auditorium. They had worship, testimonies, preached the gospel. Hundreds came forward. About 3 weeks ago, it was Texas A&M. 10,000 in the auditorium. Worship, and worship is a part of every one of these. Worship is a part. So remember that. Worship is opening the heavens for that open heaven and the pouring out of His Spirit. So worship has been bringing these breakthroughs at the universities. And they get baptized right away. Okay, I got a couple of scriptures for you today. Let's move up here. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance and the far reaches of the earth as your possession. Now, the word nations there is not geopolitical nations. The word nations are people who don't know God. That's what nations represents here. And God is saying right here to us, ask of me. Ask me for the people who don't know God. Ask me for them, and I'll bring them. They're our inheritance, okay? Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance and the far reaches of the earth as your possession. So nations represents those people who don't know Jesus. All right, let's go on. I got meetings in Manila. I just got back from Manila in the Philippines. We had 4,500 people there from our mission, and they were from 110 different nations. Talk about worship. We worshiped in every language you can imagine. It was just worship, 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 and then encouragement. And the Lord met us during that time. With 4,500, they were all ready to worship. The reason we were in Manila is because the Spirit of God is moving in the Philippines. Every grade school, middle school, high school, university, technical school has opened up for Christians to come in and preach the gospel. They say, we want you to come in. We don't know how long that will last, but definitely this next year or maybe the next 2 years, people are going to the Philippines to preach the gospel. And we're seeing wonderful things happen there. Young people are coming to Jesus about like they were the same in the 80s. I was there in the 80s, and we just had a blast. People coming to Jesus all over the place. Okay, so meetings in Manila. That's where I was. Move of God. And that move of God is happening around the world. I think I got a couple of pictures. Let's take a look. This is Hollywood Boulevard in California. Okay? They blocked the road, preached the gospel. They had worship, preached the gospel. There was about 1,000 Christians there blocking the road. And at the end of the worship and the testimonies, they preached a simple message of the love of God, and people ran forward to come to Jesus on Hollywood Boulevard. This is within the last month. Within the last month. All right, keep going. This is Gainesville, Florida, which is just a few weeks ago. That's the Gators Stadium, 6,000 people. And then immediately afterwards, they go out front and go to the next photo, and they start baptizing them in front. Now, I had somebody come up in the late church right after the service and said, we've got a granddaughter that goes to Gainesville, Florida, the Gators. I said, really? The University of Florida? Yeah. I said, call her and ask her. She's always looking for a church, every school she's in, and she usually finds one pretty quickly. Ask her what happened in Gainesville, what happened at the university. So it's a move of the Spirit of God. It's an M-O-G, okay, a move of God. Do I have another one there? Yeah. Look at these kids, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 8-year-olds in ministry in this church. This is a Spanish-speaking church. And kids came forward, and all the other kids in the worship team couldn't play the music anymore. They were weeping and moving under the Spirit of God. And they were reaching out and praying for the people that came forward. Young people, the move of God is not limited to the universities, but it's happening here among young people. It's happening in universities. It's happening in all the schools. San Antonio, Texas has a high school movement where hundreds of kids are coming to Jesus. California, there's a guy in L.A., a junior in high school, led 800 kids to Christ last year. Something is happening in these age groups. Tried to take God out of the schools. I guess they couldn't. He won't be stopped. He won't be stopped, all right? Do I have another one there? Or okay, Acts 2:17. And this is what I will do in the last days. And it's a quote from Joel 2:28. It says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit on some people. All right, there we go. You got that, right? There's no limit here. I will pour out my Spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy. Come on, that was the pictures there. You're seeing the prophetic being released. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men, whoever that is, will experience dreams from God. I always ask people, are you seeing visions or dreams? So categorize you, huh? Okay, we should be moving in this because it's happening. You know, the disciples and the writers of the book, the Bible, really thought the last days were right then. So if they thought they were in the last days after Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, they thought they were in the last days. Think of what they are now. All right, we're going to see this. We're going to see this move of God continue. All right, we got a great wave going on here. Okay, do I have a couple other things there? I was going to share some testimonies from universities because I think this will be encouraging. Remember, ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance. Okay, the nations, the people who don't know Jesus. So I was in China, I loved to do university ministry, and so we would always pray and ask the Lord, what do you want us to do? When we'd stand at the university gates before we'd go on, we'd stand there and listen to Jesus. What do you got for today, Lord, before we step onto that campus? And so here's what happened. A couple of things, anyway. One thing we did was I was standing there with my prayer partner for that day, and I said, here we go. What do we got today? And the Lord said, just go tell them that there is a God. We both got the same thing. So we walked onto campus and say, okay, tell us who to tell it to. And we're walking along, and here comes a couple of students running out of their dormitory going to class. And they saw we were different than them, so they said, what are you doing here? They spoke a little bit of English. And so we just said what God had told us to say. We've come here to tell you that there is a God. One of the students said, now that is funny, because my roommate, since they got up this morning, has been saying to me and asking me, is there a God? Is there a God? Is there a God? Is there a God? My roommate's been doing that since we woke up this morning, and I don't have an answer. I don't know. So you must be supposed to talk to her. I said, okay, we're going to tell you. So we just shared the simple gospel. We answered a few questions. And right there on the university campus, on the way to class, this student gave their heart to Jesus. Because they were asking the questions already. The Lord told us what to say before we went on. We said it when we got there. And boom, we see a salvation. Now, another day we were walking onto a university, and we stopped outside the gate and said, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to us today? What do you got for us today? And my friend that day got a purple shirt. And I got a scientist with glasses, and one of the lenses is broken. And they have a pocket protector filled with pens and little rulers. That's what I got. I got a picture of that person. Okay, purple shirt and a scientist. And so we walked onto campus. We said, okay, we'll just walk across, see if we can find these people. All of a sudden, my friend says, purple shirt, over there on that student. Okay, we got to catch him. That's a little ways away. So we started walking that direction, but they were walking away from us. Every time they'd go around the corner, we would run to try to get caught up, but they'd be farther down the road. We were chasing them around these buildings, trying to get to the guy with the purple shirt. Finally, we're all the way on the other side of campus, and we finally get caught up, and we stop and talk to them a little bit, and we share some things, but they're not interested. So they walked away. But now we're standing in a part of the campus that we've never been in. We said, we're deep in this campus. I wonder how we get out of here. Because we followed the purple shirt to this position. We said, well, let's just stand here and see if we can find anybody else that we can talk to. So we just stood there and we walked up a little bit. Pretty soon, a guy walked up to us because he saw that we were different and weren't students. And we looked at him. And he was wearing glasses, but one of the lenses was broken. And he had a pocket protector, and it was filled with pens and little rulers. And I turned to my guy and I said, hey, I think this is who we're supposed to talk to. Turns out he was a scientist. And he was in between classes. He's working on an advanced degree, so he was really smart. And we just shared the simple gospel message with him. And then what happened? He said, you know, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for something like this. What do I do? And so we just led him to the Lord out on the sidewalk there. And he stood there and he said, I feel more peace than I've ever had before. We said, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus has given you that peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. And we dug out a book that we had with us and we said, here's a book for you. It was the New Testament. We gave him the New Testament and he said, oh, I'm between classes. I can read this. I can read this in no time. I said, you do that. Do that. Because this is going to help you know more about Jesus and how to walk with him. There was two. Now, there was another time when I was studying the foreign language in there. I had a Sunday night meeting, and I called it English Club. English Club. Where I met some hotel managers, and they said, we want to improve our English. Can you come and help us on Sunday night? I said, let's have a Sunday night club. Now, this was so interesting because they were managers of the hotel. And so they said, we're going to meet up in the restaurant on the top floor. I said, that sounds good. Yeah. And you can eat whatever you want from the buffet. I go, yeah, I like working with the managers of the hotel. And so we had an English club. But I turned the English club real quickly into sharing the gospel. I was talking about their culture, and I was talking about Chinese characters. And they would laugh at me, and they would mock me. But there was one guy there who wasn't a manager. He just came because he heard it, there was an English club. And so he rode back on the bus with me. And he got off the bus before I got to the university. But he would get off and he would ask questions. He would just be asking all these questions. And every Sunday night, he'd ride home with me on the bus and ask me questions. I said, hey, I got a book that may help you. His name was Stranger. That was his English name. Hey, stranger. I don't know if he'd been watching Westerns or what. Hey, stranger. And so his name was Stranger, and he told me, he said, I'm a practicing Buddhist. I said, oh, that's interesting. So he would be asking me all these questions, and he wanted to know more. And so after a couple of weeks, I said, well, I had a book that may help you answer some of your questions, but why don't you read something in it? read something in the New Testament. I gave him the New Testament in a couple of languages. I said, read something in there, and then when we go home on the bus next week, you can ask me the questions. And that's what he did. He read this, and then Sunday after English club, we'd ride home on the bus. He'd ask me the questions. And this went on for a couple of weeks. He just asked questions. I answered them. One time on the way home, he said, Joe, I've got a question. I said, what's that, stranger? He said, well, I can't put the book down. I'm reading this book, and I can't put it down. I keep reading, and I keep reading. What? Why is that? I said, oh, that's obvious, stranger. He said, what is it? I said, you're hungry for truth, and this book is the truth. So he continued reading it and asking me questions, and he said, Joe, the next Sunday, he said, Joe, I read that whole book again. I said, what do you mean? I read it all week. I read the whole book. The whole book? Yeah, I read everything. I've been reading the whole thing every week. That's why I have so many questions for you. It gives a new meaning to, did you read your Bible this week? Did you read your Bible this week? He read the whole New Testament every week. And he had been doing it for the last month. Every week he reads the whole New Testament. And I said, that's amazing. And I'd answer his questions again. And then the English club ended because I had some exams I had to do. And about a month later, he called me. He said, hey, can I come out and see you? Hey, you want to come to the university? Come on, you know where I live. Come on out. So he came out and he sat down. He's on the edge of his chair. He said, Joe, I need to ask you a question. I said, go ahead, stranger. He said, what can I do for God? Now, remember, he's a Buddhist. He was a practicing Buddhist. That is a works religion. They work their way to nirvana. It takes their whole life to work their way to nirvana. But when he asked me that question, I got excited. He said, what can I do for God? I said, oh, my goodness, I've got a list of things to do for God. And I pulled out my mental list of things to do for God. It's about a foot long. And I'm going to read this off. Here's what you can do for God. And I'm ready to read it, and the Holy Spirit stops me and says, Joe, don't you dare give stranger your list of things to do. I said, I've been waiting for this moment. I have this list. I have to give it to somebody. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, this is what I want you to tell stranger. And I said, okay, is that enough? He said, that's enough. You want me to tell him that? Yes, I want you to tell him that. Do you want to know what I told stranger? This is what I told him. He's on the edge of his chair. I'm ready to give him my list. And I say, stranger, I want to make sure that this is clear about salvation. I thought he was still a Buddhist. And I shared the gospel with him. And he said, oh, you mean that prayer at the end of the book that you gave me? Yeah. I'm just clarifying here. I'm making this clear. He said, oh, I did that weeks ago. I want to know what I can do for God now. I went, okay, here it is, stranger. Spend a little time with Jesus every day. And his shoulders relaxed. And he sat back in the chair. And he said, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I said, that's it. Spend a little time with Jesus every day. He said, yeah, I can do it. And that's what stranger went off to do. We should have changed his name because he wasn't a stranger to God anymore. He had a relationship with Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. Now, with this first ask of me, we go back to Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. I will give you the people who don't know me, and you can share with them how to come into relationship with Jesus. It's an easy prayer. All the things that are going on the planet today, you and I can speed it up by giving some prayer to it. Here it is. Jesus, continue your work on the planet. Continue changing lives on the planet. I'm not even sweating. It's not that difficult. But I will tell you, we forget the simple prayers. We forget to pray them. If you will pray that prayer. One of the things we look for in missions, one of the things we look for is we try to find where God is working, and then we go there and join in with what he's doing. That's what we do in missions. We join in with what God's doing. You and I can join in with what God's doing on the planet now. I think that he's working not only in the universities, but he's working in the 5-year-olds to the 95-year-olds. And you can have a part of it. You can go. You can go and start telling people about Jesus. First thing, though, is to pray. Pray. Jesus, continue your work on this planet. We need you. It's not difficult if you remember to pray. It's easy. And it's a simple prayer. All right, so let's do that. Are you ready? The prayer is, Jesus, continue your work on this planet today. Here we go. Everybody, Jesus, continue your work on this planet today. In your name we pray. Amen. Remember that.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, thank you, Joe. You guys do all right. You know, and I'll issue the same challenge that I did at Lake Church. You know, when you know your crowd, you can work it pretty easily. And I said, so, what time do the Chiefs play tonight, Mark? Tomorrow night. It's Monday night. What time? 7 o'clock. Okay. And, yeah. And what time, kids, what time do you have to be in school tomorrow? Becca, what time do you have to be in school tomorrow? Okay. Cool. Yeah. What time you got to go to work in the morning, Josh? Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That means harvest is done, huh? Yeah. So I went through a few things like that, and I said, Joe said spend a little time with Jesus. So set a time to spend a little time with Jesus. Church was at 10 o'clock this morning, right? Lake Church was at 7:50. Facebook for us was at 6:30. So what am I going to do at 4 o'clock this afternoon or 5 o'clock? Set a time. Spend a little time with Jesus. Doesn't take much. If a Buddhist can read the New Testament in a week, if I step on your toes, good. That's what a pastor should do sometimes. If a Buddhist can read the New Testament through in 1 week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week, how much are you going to read today? Shame on me. I get pretty busy, I get pretty full, and I can make all the dadgum excuses I want to, but I need to read more. Amen? So if you feel convicted, that's good, but it's only because God loves you and so do I. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray for every one of those people that Joe runs into. Lord, as he's getting ready to take off again, Father, we thank you that you'll continue to order his steps, the scripture says. Order his and his team's steps. And also, Father, give them that hearing ear to hear what you want him to say and them to say. And we thank you for it. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to spend a little time with you a little bit more. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. 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 Have a great week.